It's October 8th, 7:20.
Tuesday.
On Tuesday evening.
Somebody prayed.
Okay. Yes, Lord. We ask again that there would be a visitation of your truth amongst us.
Yes.
That you would anoint us, Lord, by your Spirit, guide us by your Spirit to your truth. That we would recognize it as being that, O Lord, and that there would be that prophetic process that is described in 1 Corinthians 14, where two or three speak and the others judge. Lord, that would be in operation. That you would do that good work. Oh, it is such a so edifying, such a pleasure when you operate amongst your people in that way. So we ask that for that tonight, Lord, that we would be built up and edified in you, by your Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, Nikki isn't here. They caught a spot.
Oh.
And so she was there last night, and I was here today all day. So she's got a couple things here, but I think she's probably just come and get them. So they moved into that house.
Oh.
Talking about the one where somebody was killed, but it wasn't in that house. It was in that neighborhood. And anyway, that'll take the pressure off from some people that are concerned about me having somebody living in the basement. And
well, I continue to think, God bless you, Keith, for your willingness.
Well, let me tell you something. I have not, in all of the years that I can ever remember, I have never ever decided what somebody else should do. You know what I mean? Charlie, it's your life. You make your decisions, you do it. Ken, it's your life. You make your decisions, you do it. Corky, it's your life. And I mean, that's the way I've been. I don't do it. And over the years, Joanne and I have taken in a lot of people. And I don't know if anyone has seen the pictures of the little guy, the little Curly, sitting on my lap. And Nikki took pictures of it. Has anybody seen you? And anyway, and you know what? When she went to move, he said, I don't want to go. I want to stay with Papa.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And that was the last that I saw him. I want to stay with Papa. Somehow I've become his grandpa. Mm. But, be careful how I say it, but her family structure is not so good. And so, and then here's the other side of the story. It doesn't fail, and it didn't fail with Nikki. Her and I have had a couple of the most unbelievable conversations ever. And this has to do with this thing, you know, we're talking about the scripture that says, you know, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. And anyway, or out of their innermost being, or out of their, what's the other word?
One said, mine said out of their heart.
The New King James said heart.
Yeah.
And the other said bellies.
So tell me, what is it that's going to flow out of the belly, or the heart, or the innermost being? What's going to come out? It says, thus he spoke of the Spirit, which they should receive. Oh, you see that fellow over there? Look at him. Spirit's coming out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's words.
It's words. Mm-hmm. And when the devil, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, it says that he put a flood of water upon the woman. Out of his mouth came a flood of water. Remember the scripture said?
Yeah, right.
What came out of his mouth?
Yeah, I saw that a long time ago where I felt that was trying to put the church just into a bogged down by words, you know.
Oh, by empty, meaningless, godless words.
Yeah.
False doctrines.
You know, using the church to just you know, men's interpretations.
So what have we got today? The church world is consumed with meaningless traditions and doctrines, just like at the time of Jesus with the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah.
As people have sat in darkness and seen a great light. Meaning what? I was sent, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. The light, that's the light. And so if we get truth, that's light.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get false doctrine, that's darkness.
Yes, let me throw in the correction there. I didn't get that. The Spirit revealed it. That was it.
Well, I tell you, as long as we're at that point, let me tell you what happened last night. I had a dream. I haven't had one like this for quite a while. And I shared it with Corky. And anyway, in the dream, there was quite a few people in the church. I don't know who, but anyway, and it was excitement. And I was excited. And I was telling what God was doing. And how much change is taking place in us. How much change is taking place in me and so forth. And I felt good about it. Everything felt good, you know. But I happened to notice somehow in the back corner, it wasn't, sound equipment wasn't set up like Cardi has it set. There were chairs. And in the back corner, there was a fellow that I wasn't familiar with. You know, I didn't know who he was. And I saw him sitting there. And I was talking about, you know, all of these things and how good it was. It was like it was, we should have been excited about it. We should have been, whatever. And all of a sudden I realized it was the Lord was sitting there.
Mm.
And my thing was, I kind of knew what he was looking for. And all of a sudden I realized I don't have a clue what he's looking for. You follow what I'm saying? We get so confident in our own assumptions and our own whatever it is. I mean, no different than the church. It's in false doctrine. I really don't know what does he expect. If the righteous scarcely get saved, are saved, you know, what mm-hmm. do I know about it?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, the good that he would, he did not, the evil that he would not, that he did. Paul, why don't you change all that? Why didn't you change, Paul? Who's going to deliver me from this thing?
Nah.
Who's going to deliver me from my misconceptions and my... You know what I mean? I realize that I don't really know what God is expecting. And so you know what I did?
Hmm.
And this was before 4 o'clock, because about when I got up around 4, so I got down and I prayed and repented. Because I don't have a clue what holiness and righteousness and godliness, I don't know what it is. How do I know? Are you following what I'm saying?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We think we do and we don't. And the only one that really knows what he's looking for is God himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I thank God for Jesus Christ. And then the way out of it was there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But Paul, they looked in there, it looked like Paul was still kind of had problems with the flesh. I'm glad I don't.
I had a crazy, I totally forgot about it. I had a dream, like a 5-second dream. And I don't even know if it means anything or not. But I don't know where I was, but I was someplace, and there was a lot of people around me. It was chaos, and people were running like back and forth. I'm not sure where they were, if they were running from something or running to something. But they were going different directions. There was didn't make sense. And all of a sudden, it's just a dream, so whatever. All of a sudden, people around me, they were becoming. It's just scans, Keith.
It's mine.
Oh, I thought it was my head. I got something here that I never had figured out. Somebody got to figure it out for me.
So anyways, people around me are becoming statues. Like, these are normal people, but and I can see them from feet to the top, they're becoming statues. But if I would tell them, all I had to say was Jesus. That's it, Jesus. All of a sudden, they would turn back to people. But they're becoming statues so quick, and I so quickly had to say Jesus. And but not only that, but I had such a hard time getting the word Jesus out of my mouth. So the people were becoming into statues. And I knew what to do, but it was so hard to do it. I could do it. It's like, I couldn't get anything out of my mouth. But then, so people, all of a sudden, and there was no resolution to the dream. There was no ending. Or, you know what I mean? They were going running back and forth with no sense whatsoever. Mm. I don't even know if it's, but it was just a dream. It was just a dream.
I have had the experience of having a very, very difficult time saying the word Jesus.
Really?
I've had that happen.
Yeah.
You know, in a deliverance setting or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has happened to me.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Before deliverance started in 82, I don't know how long, at least several months, I kept having a reoccurring experience where I was choking to death. And there were finger hands around my neck, and then one morning I looked and I had fingerprints around my neck. Mm. I think it was me. I don't think there was anybody in there strangling me. Mm-hmm. But I had all I could do to breathe. And I heard a voice, I don't know, something way in the background. It says, "Say Jesus. Say Jesus." Not a chance.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was say Jesus, but you know, I couldn't say it. And finally, I would gurgle out something that remotely resembled Jesus, and the thing left.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I had this happen, I want to say half a dozen times. And that was before deliverance started.
Yeah. Well, I think they were strangling demons, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, that's...
Yeah.
Whether you had one, I don't know, but... And they would have had reason for wanting you out of the way, of course.
Well, they want any one of us out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Something else happened today. Candy has to, you know, they have to be, the insurance companies and so forth have to be, have a doctor's approval to the fact that Chuck's handicapped. And so Candy took him to the doctor, which is in Vail. Well, the last time that we had to go through that thing, Duane was still here. And it used to be like every 5 years or something. And it was through, not Mayo, through
Marshfield.
Marshfield. And so all the records in Marshfield, they never made it to Mayo. And so she's trying to get this thing straightened out today. And now they've moved it up because there's so much corruption and stuff like this. There's so many people that are illegally getting insurance help and so forth. And so now they have to do it on a yearly basis. And it is a complicated mess. Poor Candy. I mean, and there's not many papers have to be filled out, and they go through it. Everything except, you know, it's almost like what did he eat every day, you know what I mean? and all of the questions they have that they ask have nothing to do with Chuck's real condition. His condition is mental. But even though it's mental and he has no memory and he has this problem, if you sit and talk to him, a lot of times you don't even know that he has a problem. You know what I mean? I mean, you could tell it, but anyway, And so while she's trying to figure this out, and it's a cut today, and get some help at Mayo, guess who was rushed to come up to the window to help her? Brenda Van Vliet Peterson.
Oh, really?
And Candy says she started to cry. And she says, I'm so thankful that you're here, because Brenda was right there then to help her. And she said that we need any help here or anything. She says she's got lots of time.
Brenda?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And I felt really good because I thought, you know, I would love to tell her what God's doing. I'd love to.
Wonder how she is with insulation.
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, I'd love to get in it if I wouldn't fall out the letter. If I could stand on my feet.
I think we are in for some remarkable things occurring in the spirit, both positive and negative.
I think so.
You know, yeah. We should be not surprised.
Yeah, the devil is never going to let you alone.
No.
See, I did find that scripture about, you know, where it says cleanse the flesh and the spirit, which I thought was odd. I mean,
I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 7:1.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I kept saying, you know, well, I said it once, but when I was looking, I knew, I just thought it was at the top of a column, you know. And it is in my Bible. So, I knew I was looking for it in the right place, but 2 Corinthians, right? Yeah.
Well, it says that several times. It's not just that one spot.
Yeah, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
How could it be in the spirit?
Yeah, how could your spirit need cleansing?
You know what? I think it's maybe a little simpler than we think.
Yeah.
Our spirit, you know how it says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? And if somebody gets into witchcraft or whatever, what part of them gets into it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're spiritual.
Oh, sure, of course. And we don't recognize it, but when we're dealing with demonic problems in people, what are we dealing with?
Like ones in which their spirit is affected.
That their spirit is affected by a spirit, by a demon.
Yeah. I've heard pride expressed as being a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
But I guess I can see that. You know.
Yeah. You know, God, when you were talking about what does God want or whatever, something went to, that no, just this one scripture, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And I think that's something that we should remember for, not only, we need to be humble, but we need to try to be humble, because I don't think that a man naturally is humble.
No.
I don't think it's natural. So
I think I am.
There you go. Right. And right before all that, before that scripture about no flesh should glory, and no flesh should. Whatever thing is. Before all that, it's all about, You know, God set it up that in such a way that it's so foolish that it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He says God is all into the foolish thing. He says, your calling, there's not a lot of wise men that he called. There is, but there's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of noble guys. So God, and it's not with fancy words. So basically, the things of when God is doing something, he's not using men that are empowering or cunning. And that's what's not cunning, but like in a cunning way. It's basically, you know, there's all this fancy thing, but I'm just telling you about Jesus being crucified. Just because if you're supposed to receive the gospel, you don't really have to try to convince anyone of anything. If God set it up, what can you really say? You can say, hey, Jesus being crucified, and that's it. Because God already has him predetermined, I think. I mean, that's how, you know, it's not that we changed them. It's not something that we said that was so specific. God had it set up that, hey, I just preached Jesus crucified. I don't got to tell you anything super
that's
fancy.
That's what Paul said.
That's a false way. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the whole first chapter of Corinthians until, you know, so.
Except that he wrote how many
Right. But see, when he wrote them, he wasn't thinking this was going to be part of the Bible. You know what I mean?
No.
He was just writing letters to all these people.
Right. You know, I wonder if he was. I don't know. He had to have known he was operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah. Right. But I don't know. I can imagine him thinking he would be put in the same book of, like, Genesis. And,
he expected Jesus to be coming any time.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, it's important that, you know, when God, you know, do we want God? We need to just let God, you know, do his stuff.
Well, I think, you know, like it says, lots of times, actually, that, you know, there's not through any wisdom of man that you're going to find God or Christ. But, so, it is kind of, and it is predetermined by God, but then he will anoint people to say certain things.
Exactly.
Other people,
yeah, but these certain things are not going to be fancy,
but because they're coming from him and
right.
by the Holy Spirit. It's
right.
not wisdom and it's not knowledge of man.
And it's gonna look foolish to a lot of people, right. whatever it is that you have to say.
And that's why that scripture, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's he spoke of the Spirit, which they that received it, you know, that would receive it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't come, and it's, you know, with the enticing words of men's wisdom.
Yeah.
Right.
Enticing. Isn't that what I've heard enticing words for all my Christian life.
Right.
Oh, does that ever sound good? Boy, that guy's really intelligent.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know. I mean, I thought that too. What a blessing to the kingdom of God.
Yeah. But I think, Pablo, you brought up a really good thing. You know, and it's we can't ignore the fact that we are getting revelation. God is anointing. The Spirit is moving, and we're learning things.
Yeah.
But if the revelation that doesn't come from that is you've learned something but you know less, it's kind of like the more you know, the less you know. And until you can hang on to that, you cannot hang on to humility. Because once you start thinking, we're getting all of this, humility just starts to slide away.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. once you start taking pride in what the anointing you're getting, or, I mean, even if you give praise for the anointing and the Spirit and what he's giving, humility starts to ebb away from that.
Yeah. You're kind of like that Pharisee who said, oh, thank God, I thank you, God.
You know, I wonder if Paul had a humility problem
because he had to have a thorn in the flesh. That may be God given purposely because he was getting a little hot head, maybe.
I think he's as much as says so.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah,
interesting, because the other day I was listening and he said, or maybe I was reading, but he says, and I'm going to send my son Timothy. And I thought, you know, it says in the Bible there's only one father.
Yeah.
But you're always saying that you're a father.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought came in, are you off a little there, Paul? You know, are you hanging on to something that, you know?
There are a couple of things. There's a other book where Paul, or the another letter where Paul basically gives his resume. I've done more of this than all of you. Okay, who's that to impress? I mean, God knows that.
Well, in that, I think in that context, though, what he's doing is he's showing, yeah, there's all this if you want somebody to be bragging, but it means nothing.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because he says, well, as other men might say, I have this if I wanted to say. And then he does say it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he lets us know.
he's still kind of like, I did the stuff.
But, you know, maybe that part that I brought up, you know, that maybe that's just something that there has to be some light shine on.
The sun. Yeah, and it may have been a term that they used.
Yeah, because I think
like
John
a mentor
maybe,
or something.
Oh, John does. He says to my children, and
right.
You know, it's not his own family.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I have no
greater joy
than
to hear that my children.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it
must.
Yeah, it might have been a term.
You know.
Yeah.
But even then, and because it says, and there's only one. Doesn't it say there's only one teacher too? Maybe not.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. This what the, your yes. teacher is only one teacher, the Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one true teacher.
Called,
I mean, this
called no man rabbi, I think he says. Which teacher?
Right. Yeah.
Because called no man father. There's only one father, your father in heaven.
You know.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
It's just tough to know what the boundaries are of that instruction.
Well, you see, when it says don't call no one father, okay, your dad, you can call him father, but see, now the priest, I mean, Jesus saw it coming 100 years before he came. He's like, don't call nobody father, and then they go, the Catholics call him father.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's exactly wrong.
Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
It's exactly right. Wrong.
And when he says,
Catholics are
called no man teacher.
Exactly wrong.
Exactly wrong.
That is a way of conveying,
yeah.
Make sure that you're instructed by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not be counting on some wise man.
Yeah, a good point.
Yeah.
I had an interesting, not interesting, but I had a funny experience. I was in the gas station in Minong, and there's this guy buying, I'm not sure what, and he was going to hold up the line a little bit, and he said, I don't want to hold up the line because this guy's, and he points at me and said, don't worry about it, I can know where to be, so I'll wait. Oh, okay, well, so we start talking, and then I don't know what brought it up, but he says, yeah, it's my sister's birthday or something, so I'm going to drive by her house, he says, and I'm just going to give her the finger. She put her middle finger up, and I'm just going to drive up with my finger. I'm like, oh, yeah, I said, and you know, I said, I didn't preach to him anything, but I told him, you know what, yeah, you need to forgive your sister, I said. You just have to forgive your sister. You just have to. And then, yeah, when he, I don't know, he grabbed my hand, I don't know what, he's shaking, I don't know, but he's just holding my hand. And then, blah, 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 and then, so then he walked out, then I'm walking out of my truck, and then he's driving out. While he's driving, he screams out of the window, and he says, his car is moving now, and he's not even looking in front of him, he's driving like this. He says, hey, brother, he says, I'm going to forgive my sister, he says, because you said so.
Super.
Oh, yeah. But I wish I would have the chance to say, well, because you have to forgive, because me, but you know what, it doesn't matter.
You know what, somebody, all of a sudden, a weight lifted off of him.
Yeah.
Right at that moment already.
Yeah.
I mean, he was feeling.
Yeah. He's just trying to
agree with
him. I'm like, keep your eyes on the road.
Well, that's exactly what he gives to his sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I would have done that, Pablo. Mm-hmm. So God bless you. Yeah, you know, yeah. For
he was the whole situation because he was very grateful that I. He was, yeah. He, I don't know, buying alcohol or drinks, some, but who cares? Yeah, who cares? And he holds my hand, oh, thank you, and I don't know what. And then, yeah. And so he was very friendly already.
I see, sure.
So it wasn't a thing, you know.
Yeah.
I said, give, buy her a birthday card and
you know,
put a lottery ticket in there.
You know, he may have already been convicted.
Yeah,
of that.
Maybe by his own words.
Yeah,
and this confirmation was what he needed.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe he's a Christian already and everything. Maybe that's just the one thing he needed. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of that's where out of the belly flow of rivers of blood and water. That's a kind of a maybe an example.
Yeah.
You notice I said maybe.
And I told him
you left yourself a little room, which is good.
And I told him about us. I said, Buy a birthday card there, write in there that you love her and that you forgive her, and put in there a lottery ticket. I said, no, and he says, you know, I always buy lottery tickets for people. I said, how do you, are you, I don't know what he says, but are you like some people that know things? I'm like, no.
Prophet?
Yeah, right. So I told him, so that's what I insisted, he held my hand again for whatever reason. I said, you have to forgive your sister, you just have to forgive her. You know, I said, yeah, whatever. And I don't know what he said, I don't remember. And then it was funny. We go, okay, bye, whatever.
You never know.
No.
There can be a whole bunch of surprised people.
Right.
No.
But it is
somewhere, you know.
Hey, brother, or I don't know if he's brother or person or big guy or something. I'm going to forgive my sister because something. All right. Felicity was with me.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Pablo.
Yeah, well, that's the way the Lord would work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, we were chatting a little bit more a few minutes back, and you were saying how foolishness. You know, I was thinking a little bit about. You know, people like to have dignity. You know, they just like to have a level of dignity, and God really could care less about your dignity because to Him you don't have dignity even if you think you have dignity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like the way things are presented, or the tests, if you will, is you don't have any dignity or you don't have any pride if you're really truly going to move forward in God. Because it's another way of having to die to self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. Sure is. We probably have more of it coming in the future, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do, anyway.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a shake-up in that experience this morning, a real shake-up. And which made me realize that...
That dream you're referring to?
Yeah, we don't really know what God wants. We got to let Him decide that. We can get so sure that I got it made, you know, I'm on the right way. Or
I took that listening to you talk was just the warning was there because you said, you know, I'm feeling really good about what God's been doing. And even though you gave God the glory and saying, I feel really good what God's doing and what's going on and what God's got going on, and just sort of settling into, we're on the right track, and I feel really good about this. And then going, that was Jesus, and He didn't seem to think that I was so much on the right track. And it just kind of brought you right back down to being, like, don't be assuming.
It brought me to a real repentance early this morning.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, I really don't know what He wants. We can read the Bible and hear the Bible all we want. We still won't really know what God wants.
Until He reveals it.
Well, even at that. I mean, His ways are past finding out.
Well, you're talking about what He wants us to do.
Yeah, so what He wants us to do is to stay so in tune and so much in Him that we leave everything up to Him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
everything up to him.
Which is what Jesus did do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I was really affected from our discussion Sunday night about repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things, too. I went home and I prayed, you know, show me real repentance. Grant me real repentance or whatever, you know. And he hasn't necessarily done that yet, but then he went, but it's like but then he straightened out my hecticness in my mind, you know, and all that, took stress away. So, I've been sitting here feeling pretty good about what he's done.
That's right, yeah. One thing I've been affected by, and I don't think you were here, Pablo, so let me tell you about it.
It's all right.
And that was that the Bible is dead words just like any other book,
mm-hmm.
unless it is mixed with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So every bit of it
mm-hmm.
has to be mixed with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the light of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Absent that, it's just a bunch of dead words. It's like the words, what was flowing from the mouth of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It has to be mm-hmm. mixed with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what is so marvelous is that God had those, or God spoke those words to people. And how he can speak them in such a way that you can make them letter or let the Holy Spirit make them a spirit that's a real mystery.
Uh-huh.
They're the same words, only the Spirit makes them eternal life, and the flesh or the letter kills you.
Uh-huh.
It says the letter kills and the Spirit gives life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with that deadness in a denominational mainline church. Oh, it is dead. I have total understanding and sympathy for the teenager who says, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Oh, I get it. You know? And in some ways, maybe I have a little more respect for that teenager than I would for the one who just meekly follows along because that's what their parents want them to do or something, you know?
There's a real danger in that, though, because they're being taught to follow the pastor or the priest or the minister. And so, really, that meekly following teenager is actually showing obedience.
Uh-huh.
And that's the trap. Because you go, because you got the one who says, I don't want to do this anymore because I've determined that it's not very spiritually fulfilling. And the adults in that conversation go, you know, you're just rebellious. And in fact, he may be more spiritually in tune. And that's the kind of the dilemma, you know. I mean, we can all point to times when we followed probably instead of seeking God, you know, and I think that's one of the big outcroppings of this revelation is to go where I am. If you want to find me, go where I am, because it really puts the onus back on you, the individual. Okay, this is what I have to do to find him, and God will meet that. I mean, you have to have faith in that, but God will meet that. And so, I heard what you said, and I go, oh, yeah, I understand that completely. And I go, and here's this poor guy doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, and he thinks he's being obedient, and he's honoring his mother and father, and da-da-da-da-da, and you go, yeah, you're all wet. And no, he's not. It takes discernment, though. I mean, that's the example where you need the Spirit to come
right,
and go,
right.
This is... It all looks really good.
Uh-huh.
It all looks quite good, but it's really not.
You know, all this, I've thought about this for a long time, but all these people that are like anti-God or they're mad at God or they don't like the things of God, what they don't know is that they're anti what they were told about God.
Exactly.
Is they're not if yeah. because they've been told that God is such and such and such. They haven't discovered the true God because they're mad at things that God is not.
Yeah, mad at something that happened.
Right, right,
right.
And
yeah.
So
it's, yeah, they're mad at the things that man has said is of God. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's not.
There's something in man's laws that don't really hold up, and yeah, right. they get all.
And see, as growing up, I heard a lot in my country, at least, like, well, no, you know, not with God because you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't. It's like that's not really going after God, really. Okay, I mean, yeah, you probably shouldn't do half of those things. You know what I mean?
Tries not to do them, but don't make it.
But see, that's such a big misconception because again, now people think that you gotta clean up to come to God.
Right.
That's not totally
right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big message if for a lot of people. You don't have to clean up to come to God. You just come to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I mean, yeah. The big revelation because I'm not clean enough to come to God.
Right.
And I'm trying really hard.
Right.
Yeah. I had a jail ministry. You know?
Yeah.
And the other... not that I was so great and everything, everybody else was bad, but you know, that was the message.
Right.
Clean up for God.
Right.
My own thinking was, hey,
right.
forget about the clean up.
Yes.
Just have a relationship with Him.
Right.
Let the other take care of it.
God, exactly. God will take care of the clean up.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Oh, but it was so upside down. It grieved me to be listen. You know, all these instructions
mm-hmm.
from the better one mm-hmm. to the lesser one, these jail guys, you know. They were really polite and nice about listening to it too. They were respectful. Didn't have any impact on the heart.
I was having a conversation with Gene earlier today, and you know, we were kind of just talking about having conversations with someone who doesn't have the same revelations that we have. You know, and or someone in a church, and they work very hard to make what the church says to be truth. And I think one of the real big revelations that's come out of our approaches, we're just trying to make sure we understand what the Word of God says, and however that unfolds, that's what we follow, instead of trying to make. Yeah, Jesus is God, and then work everything you see in the Word to make that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like you use this as a proof to your concept instead of using this to tell you what your concept should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big freedom that you have if you're searching the Word for truth instead of. Searching the Word to make the truth that you have right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I heard what I heard, which said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And the thing is, after it did take me long to realize, you know what, I spent years looking for him where he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where he is. And after a while, it don't take long, and you listen to the scripture, you realize. This is where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people aren't thinking that way. They're not thinking, I need to look for him where he is. They're not thinking that way.
That's right.
But you know what? If God is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, he's going to open the door. He didn't ask us to open it. He's going to open it. But he wants us to be followers and filled with the Spirit. And it's like what Pablo did, and whether he did it without any logical reasoning behind it with this guy. But that's what you do.
Yeah.
He may never know the impact that had.
Oh, I bet he won't.
And it's not important for him to know.
No, no.
It's important for God to know. It's not important for us to know.
He might find out in heaven.
He might.
Kind of nice, I guess.
Maybe
a lot more important things to think about in heaven.
What you do is you just be ready the next, or not be ready. You're not even ready for it. Just, but have that, whatever it is in you to do it the next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it says, knock at the door. Don't come and open. Open it and come walking in, thinking you're, you know, knock. Isn't that how it says it?
Yeah.
I believe. Isn't that funny? It just said those little simple things after you start learning who God, a little bit of who God is, how all those little things, it's like you're chipping away at the humanness and the human righteousness. You know, you're seeing the faults, yes. How easy it is to build that, you know. It's like that one woman pastor I was listening to that time, because I was interested in what she had to say about Benny Hinn, but after she made whatever comments, it was like, I told you guys this already, but she made the comment that it's like, yeah, God takes care of the things in heaven, and he gives his church the earth to take care of. And I thought, oh, gosh, aren't you something?
You're right. Knock and the door will be open to you, Matthew 7 and Luke 11:9.
So come humbly knocking. And
I do think about those poor folks slaving away in a dead church, though. Working hard, it's like working in the salt mines or whatever. That was so unrewarding. You know?
A lifetime.
Yeah. Just through sheer human effort in some kind of way. I
don't know. You know, you're kind of given, these are the things to do, these are the milestones to hit, and there's actually a lot of great comfort in thinking that you're doing exactly what you need to do. I don't even know that they know that they're in the salt mines toiling away, is my point.
Maybe so. Sounds mighty unrewarding to me, but
they do in life. Yeah. Working step by step to be successful.
Maybe that's the thinking.
Yeah.
Success, essentially natural success.
Yeah,
success in this world, or whatever.
I want to aspire near as I do in my job or whatever.
Maybe.
I want to be a good person. I want to be a good person. I used to. Things you do.
You know, it's funny. I remember way back, and it used to bother me that just because a famous musician got saved, that he should start running a music ministry, or just because this guy was a leader, a teacher of law, and then he should start teaching. You know, it's like, no, wait a minute. It's up to God what the person's going to, because that is all just what the person was doing for a job or for, you know, fulfillment or whatever in the natural.
Yeah.
You can't automatically assume that God wants to use him for that, for his work.
You know? I see that kind of worldly success as being an obstacle to the flowing of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You've got your own natural ideas that you're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And that's right. Not going to let the Holy Spirit flow.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't once upon a time we used to hear comments about the Spirit really doesn't move in the U.S. because we're too blessed, and we really, you know, seems like the Spirit moves in other places where they really are much more interested in God and much closer to it, because, you know, we've got sin and debauchery and everything else. There's lots of reasons why the Spirit might not move. We're on our own version of Galilee, but it's
true. But, in Africa, they need him.
they're trying to survive day to day, so they're like, water is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and we just take so many things for granted.
Mm. South America, they need them.
Yeah.
Maybe not in rich Chile, but...
Well, it's a... When you think about it, you know, somebody has spent 40 or 50 years legalistically. I mean, not just the Old Testament law, but legalistically trying to maneuver the New Testament. And then the Day of Judgment comes, and they're castaways. Can you imagine the... And it says the
wailing and gnashing of teeth.
What is this, the whole term? The gnashing of teeth?
There would be weeping, wailing...
Weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
A lifetime spent doing something that's wrong.
All that effort and feeling good about it or whatever, yeah.
The Jews, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and here they are. They're the epitome of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're long robed, and that's what they've learned from childhood. And so Jesus comes along and says, "You're whitewashed sepulchres, full of dead men's bones.
Yeah.
You're of your father the devil."
And a bunch of other complimentary things.
Yeah. That must have made him feel good.
Imagine the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, you know, working your way up to become a bishop and then an archbishop and you know, all the terrible scandal that the Catholic Church has been going through with the pedophile stuff and all. It may just be a blessing from the Lord that is, to the extent that it does disassemble the hierarchy or whatever.
Well, the Catholic Church, for whatever reason, has been a disgrace from day one. You know, they had a lot to do with changing the humanity of Jesus into, a Trinity. And, I mean, not just them, but the Constantine had a lot to do with it, but they got together, and instead of having the Holy Spirit lead and guide them, they came to their own conclusions, and so they concluded that God was three persons.
Yeah. And very possibly because they thought it was going to work out best for the church in its proselytizing or whatever, you know, for pure practical reasons.
It's kind of like that woman preacher, you know. Yeah. God wants us to take our thing down here.
You know, I and it's because it's so Revelation is so the book is so, you know, goes so many different ways and throws so many different hues, you might say, on almost the same thing. But I really think that an aspect of the harlot is the Catholic Church, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, for one, you know, the church is a lot of times referred to as the woman, you know.
Yes, that's right.
And when you think about, like, you know, it says things that seems kind of odd because it's like, oh, they brought all their, you know, and I don't know that all the kings of the earth are that tied into the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church has totally influenced millions of people, and in a false way. And so is that, talk about harlotry. I mean, you know, they've just led people totally astray. I mean, making them think that they're right.
Setting up an idol system.
And it's an idol system, and it's, it's like... And it says, you know, like the souls of people. Well, sure, it's responsible. You know, the harlot in Revelation has taken so many souls. It says, well, yeah, and so is the Catholic Church, along with all the other denominational churches too. But they're an offshoot of that, and Catholicism, because I think like in Mexico, it's probably 80% of the people are Catholics.
Or Chile is about the least.
Yeah, at yeah. least that too. And all of them, yeah. South American countries, it's,
yeah.
you know, and all those people are have been misled, you know. That's
you would think when you have a big a lunacy revival or a Wales revival or a Pensacola revival or some of the things that we've had, you think that out of that would come some major, major revelation. It doesn't. It doesn't. That's what God gives, pours out the Holy Spirit for revelation. When He comes, He will lead and guide, He will guide you into all truth. But what happens is, they call it Baptist-costals, and they call it Luther-costals, and they call them all these different things when they get filled with the Spirit. And they stay the same. You'd think that they would start looking at the Bible and coming to the revelations of the Bible. They don't. Mm-hmm. So the Pentecostal church is not really any better than the Catholic church.
No, it isn't.
No.
Any church with a written doctrine is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because there's no unfolding revelation.
It's basically a harlot church, you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Probably don't want to keep using
you
that
go,
word,
you go into the United Pentecostal churches, or you go into the, what you call them, apostolic faith usually, or you go into the Assembly of Gods or whatever you go into, and you look and they got a book counter. And they have their what they believe. And as soon as you see what they believe, you got problems.
Yeah.
Because they've decided what God how God thinks.
You know, for as much as you know the other churches or whatever, Jesus had something against every church.
Yes,
you know
he
I mean? And we are a church as well. Mm-hmm. But the one says, you know, because you kept the word of my patience. So this is going to come. If Jesus came, he will say, you know what, Zion Christian Fellowship, you know, I have this few things against you.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? Yes, Lord.
No,
guilty.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think he's doing that now. Yeah.
Right.
Let's give him an ear.
But right. But you know, let's point fingers at all the churches we want.
Yeah.
But let's not put ourselves above any of them either.
No.
You know what I mean? And but you know what? Keep the word of His patience. Just keep it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
You know, as you were sharing that, Keith, you were about writing down, and Corky mentioned that too. It occurred to me that is an act of unbelief. Because what they're fearful of is that some fanaticism will get a hold of them and then they'll go off some deep end. They're not permitting the flow of the Holy Spirit when you write it down and nail it and make sure it's this rather than, you know, you're afraid that you're going to go off some deep end as opposed to letting the Spirit flow where the Spirit wants to flow.
As soon as you decide to pull an Ichabod,
yeah,
you know, and build your great thing up to the sky. You eliminate the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I was
saying, Charlie, about all the people that are doing all these works, thinking they're building up, you know, crowns.
That's right.
Jewels in their crowns or treasures in heaven, and you know, and I get depressed at that because it's sad, yet. You know, and I ask myself, well, I don't know about God's grace and mercy. I don't know how that goes.
That's right.
But
there is God's grace and mercy,
I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I don't. But I'm not saying I'm right in relation to God's grace and mercy.
Because on the flip side of that, there are those of us who think we're doing it right, and He says, psh, I didn't call you.
Yeah, right.
who said you're coming? I'm listening to the word.
Lord.
You know, I'm.
Didn't we do all these wonderful?
Yeah. Things? So
cast out demons.
And so, you know, in a way, that really is the whole fear and trembling thing really resonates when you think about those two things. And you go,
and you're you are yeah. For me to decide that no, 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 God's grace won't go there.
You know, I'm not saying.
I know.
But it's kind of like, it doesn't feel like the Father. Yeah, there's things that are very clear.
Uh-huh.
You did this, there's not a coming back from that, you know, and so.
The scriptures paint a picture a little bit, somewhat, with a couple of passages, as in like, when you're approached by the Lord, in whatever way, about your situations, like, you know what, you person, Pablo, there's problems. You know what, don't defend yourself.
Don't excuse it.
Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like with the publican, you know, or whatever, but Lord, we did all these things. So, like, you know what? When Jesus shows up, or when you hear whatever, let him talk. And say yes. You're right.
When he exposes the sin, don't deny it.
Right.
Repent.
Because why would anybody want to do that anyways before the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, he knows everything.
You know, I love the ending of the book of Job where, you know, God shows up and he gives all these instructions to Job. Basically, you don't know nothing, mm-hmm. is what he's saying to Job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been saying all this stuff. You don't know nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And Job responds just as you are saying.
Yeah.
He said, I have nothing to say.
Right.
You are right. You are absolutely right. You know, I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I retract it all.
Yeah.
But then, he tells Job's comforters, his accusers or whatever, you know, you really treated this guy bad.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make these sacrifices to him to make it up to him in some kind of way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he spent you know about 5 pages rebuking Job for you know, hey, you don't know, you don't know nothing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Keith's dream here. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything.
No,
you know.
He points out in painstaking detail
just
how little he is compared to
How
great God is compared to he is.
But still, I mean, hey, it's Job that is the one that kind of, you know, he gets doubly blessed.
And then at the end, God says, and he did really well in you guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. it's
kind of, but, you know, it rings true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole deal rings true.
But that is exactly the heart they have.
Where were you, Job?
Yeah, right.
When I laid out the foundation.
When I was in the planning stages, where were you?
Where were you?
Yeah.
And like, where were you, Keith Gunn?
One of my...
You weren't even born, or you weren't even thought of.
One of my favorite lines was, my walk is at the day when the book of life is opened up and he's reading. The first words out of your mouth can't be, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of justification.
No.
It's got to be, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I'm a sinner.
And Paul says that Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
Of which I am chief.
Mm-hmm. Of whom I am chief.
Mm-hmm.
Of whom I was.
And for a guy given the resume, as we were saying before, he does certainly go from end to end, doesn't he? I speak in tongues more than all of you, and I've been beaten more than all of you, da 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 da. But I'm the chiefest sinner.
Yeah.
And I mean, which in a way kind of reminds us of David, right? I mean, it's kind of like,
That's who David was.
Yeah.
That's why he's a man after God's heart.
Yeah.
I mean,
and God knew, you know, he has this foreknowledge. He knew what Paul would be.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what John the Beloved would be. And as much of a dummy as Peter was, he knew what Peter would be. You know?
Yeah.
When you read the book of Peter, that ain't Peter. You don't even sound like
think he's getting a little help there, do you?
That's not him.
Yeah, I think that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not Peter.
No.
That's the Holy Spirit using Peter as a vessel.
You know, some people say, do what they say, just don't do what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of difference between what the Holy Spirit can make you say and what you do.
Yeah. You know, your walk and what the Spirit...
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. How can I overcome this flesh?
Yeah.
He knew that no matter what anybody else said, he was going to be faithful.
Corky, you were talking about the first words must not be but.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the heart's attitude must not include any of that.
Yeah.
You know, prudence would advise us don't say but to God.
Right.
But what we need is a heart attitude that has nothing of that in us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
But my point was, I think the Pharisees were like when confronted, they were the first response was, "Hey, I was followed, but I was doing
absolutely,
you know."
Yes.
And so, that's the context of
you
think you're doing the right stuff, and basically at this point he's telling you. You worked.
Right. Yeah. No, I will totally
say
it over that.
When the Lord speaks to you about or puts his finger on this area or however, and I'm not saying it has to be Book of Life, but I mean even in our walk. You go, this isn't very good. God's telling me and I got it. This is bad. I gotta fix this. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't even recognize.
Right.
You know, the scripture where the little plank in your eye versus the little. You know, you see so much better on the outside than you do from within looking out, and you don't realize that you're being prideful, or you're being stubborn, or you're being. You know, you just don't see it. And everybody else around you is going like, oh, the Lord's got a work to do there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find it so comical that when Jesus says about the Pharisees, "You hypocrites," he says, "you will strain out a gnat and swallow a camel."
Cut
the gnat out, and then the camel.
That's exactly
That reminds me of Chuck. He picks up nothing on the floor,
but
in the garbage can. I can't even see what he got in his finger.
Right.
But big obstacles he misses.
Right. Don't get too hard on Chuck.
When you were saying that Book of Life thing, it's just like a comical thing. Like, okay, John Smith, he's there. And I'm like, well, John made it. I made it for sure. It's like, don't do it.
Don't even go there either. What's he say? There's a scripture about that. You'll be surprised on that day.
Right.
But what God is beginning to show us and reveal to us kind of makes us a scripture like that. If the righteous scarcely be saved, it kind of clears that up.
There are so many scriptures that do not give you comfort.
No.
I mean,
and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah. There's just like, there is no free lunch in this salvation.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
And you don't... There's a scripture...
Except that
about
grace is the ultimate free lunch. But, it's full of paradox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except that you don't know how that lunch works. That's my point.
Yeah. All that we have available to us are very expensive lunches, except for the great free lunch, which is what it's all about.
So all you scholars here, is this just something that's said, or is it actually scripture? To much is given, much is expected.
Jesus said that.
I think about that and I go, I'm really excited that the Holy Spirit's moving. I'm going, I just became more accountable. And we pray for it, and then I go, I became more accountable. It's like,
so for those that much has been given. For, let's say, a lot has been given to you, so a lot is required. But now when you observe other people not walking the way you're walking, you can say, you know what? Not a lot has been given to them.
so they don't have to do what I do, what I'm
exactly
doing.
And that is right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, so it will
work both ways.
Right. So it helps to take judgment away from others.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or they don't have to, you know, well, I already said it.
Well, I've tried to get out of the judgment game because there's nothing good that comes out of that. What I've seen is, like, you know, when Jesus says, "I don't judge," I mean, and we call him the perfect sacrifice, and he says, "I'm not doing this. Only God does this." Or I said, but his words, the words judging, which are from the Father. But it's, you know, it's like even he says, it's above my pay grade.
A strange scripture setting that is a real comfort. It's a comfort to us now. It says that God is not willing that any should perish.
Yeah.
But that all
come to repentance.
Should come to repentance.
Right.
And when the repentance, when we can still feel a repentance from the Lord and repent, we're in a lot better shape than any other position probably we could be in.
Yeah. Which brings up another problem, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Because if people have hardened their hearts, they can't repent.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, exactly.
Did you follow?
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to admit you're wrong, then you have a problem.
Yeah,
this repentance deal, I don't see it as being a get out of jail free.
No.
You know.
No, because you can harden your heart or God can harden
your
heart.
Well, I think that touched back on what you were saying. I mean, real repentance, you know, versus, you know, repent. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, Jesus.
Get the words
set
right.
Didn't feel heartfelt, yeah, you know.
But it's funny, as I think Charlie mentioned, and I was going, I know right where you're at. We probably do some of that other, you know, but
touch base because it's a smart thing to do.
It's a process, though, you know, so.
You know, I mean, talking about hardened hearts, Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, they were, Jesus was saying something and the disciples didn't answer quite right. And Jesus says, why is your heart still hardened? Which implies, it's like he knows that they have a hard heart, but eventually it's going to soften up. Jesus knows it's going to soften up. He just doesn't know when. And I don't think it never softened up while Jesus was on earth.
Yeah.
You know, so why is your heart?
We know about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that might have been him kind of talking out loud to the Father, like, you know, why are they not?
I expect, to our credit, sort of, that I would hope that if we were there with Jesus' ministry on hand, in the position of the Pharisees, say, or whatever, that our hearts would respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work your way way up high in the system, the Pharisaical system, and to be willing to get down from that.
Yeah, but don't you devote your life to it on every day. I mean, I think since then, that's always the dilemma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's either whether it's the Pharisees with the law of God, it's people with their positions or their employment or their money or, you know, I mean, it's,
you know, from
that anything can harden your heart. You know, I mean, it isn't just right. Like the Pharisaical
priorities
part.
All up.
Yeah, yeah, it's just man's been does that all the time, you know, day after day.
I think what you're saying is that's human nature in action.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and therefore not having anything like an open heart to whatever truth
right.
would be.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, and it goes back to what we started.
Yeah. Well, the thing you said too. There, I know people in my family that never think they're wrong, probably, really. you know.
They're what?
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. They just might stop arguing with you, but they you haven't changed their position.
Right. But, you know, as we were speaking, I was just thinking, when Jesus was walking on earth, his message wasn't really received then or accepted or understood. Very little. You know, the disciples, yeah, you are the Christ, you know, we know that. But the disciples really didn't pick nothing up, really. But then by what happened, the Spirit came. Yes. And he, and then everything that Jesus had to say, all of a sudden went, shoop, it fired up. So, in the same token, all these things that we bring up to our loved ones or whatever, it might look like
uh-huh.
Peter's or whatever, but then now see we are not the Spirit. Now when the Spirit comes, all of a sudden all those things are going to be brought to remembrance, and they're going to get lightened up.
Yeah,
so can you imagine if Jesus would have, you know, his mood would have been according to the response of his message. He would have given up day one. He would have just given up. He just kept preaching, even though they wanted to kill him and persecute him, and nobody would say nothing good about him. Even his disciples, you know. How long do I got to put up with you guys?
That setting where Jesus tells them, explains to them, but they don't get it. And then, I think it was after the crucifixion, and they come back, and then the Spirit opens it up and says, "Oh, this is what he meant."
Oh, right. Yes.
And I was thinking, well, you're right, because part of that was it wasn't time, and the Holy Spirit didn't open that up until after.
However, Jesus, it does say that now. He says, and then Jesus explained to them the things. He explained to them differently than how he preached. Anyway, again, I mean, we might all of a sudden have an encounter with different people, and we tell them all these things, and they just probably look at you like, let me get back to my whatever I'm doing. But the Holy Spirit will come, if that's what, the will of God, and then, and you know why? It's because then that way, no flesh will glory in the, with, you know, when, so then you can't glory. You just can't glory. You know what I mean? If it's done God's way.
Think about the saying that a lot of Christians do. I led so and so to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You did. How did you do that exactly?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and even that is just taking too much credit.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And it, their heart might not even be wrong.
Right.
But
right.
You know, it's like, oh, you led. Yeah. Oh,
right.
You
right.
Yeah, sent the Spirit.
Right.
And you did that, did you? Okay.
I'm thinking, though, about what you said about they didn't know anything until they didn't know things on and off, the disciples, before, you know, the resurrection. I mean, because they kept following him.
Right. That's pretty remarkable, wasn't it?
There was a draw of something that kept him there.
There are a number of instances in which, you know, they were very dull-minded until after the Spirit came.
Right.
But no, you're right. Hey, he had something.
Oh,
something was drawing those
And
friends.
Then I don't know if they heard Jesus when he was praying, because it's, Father, I've kept all that you have given me.
Peter, Jesus said, you know, are you guys going to leave me as well? I said, well, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. But at the same time, they knew that he had the words of the eternal life, but the comprehension or whatever wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't have much revelation.
Right. And they were expecting a natural Messiah, on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
We were expecting to cast off Rome and whatever, and turned out that didn't happen. They killed him instead.
Their preconceived idea of what the Messiah was going to be, Jesus missed the mark. They said, this is what I was going to do. But, and actually, I see both your comments. I think you're both right.
It's not taking away anything from what he said.
They did, the world in general, totally ignored the message that was being brought. And even the disciples, but they saw enough to know and to continue preaching.
Yeah, because on the other hand, there's all them ones that heard all the same thing, like 500 or whatever, and they turned away. When you got saying it even a little tougher, you know, when eat my flesh and drink my blood.
That's why Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, He will guide you in all truth.
Right,
He said, He will take of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, see, I mean, it's kind of double talk, but it's not. Therefore, I said, He will take of mine and show it to you.
Yeah.
All things that the Father has are mine. I have said what the Father said to say.
Those words and letters are confusing in the natural. But with the Holy Spirit, they explode
it's
over.
Better.
Anyways, the point I'm trying to make with that is like, again, so when we share with people, don't let the reaction of the receiver
turn
you down.
And that's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Twice.
You know, and you know, even with Jesus, you know, so he, you know, they crucified him because they thought they didn't want it. So he dies, and there's no more speaking of Jesus. God doesn't speak through the clouds. There's nothing going on. But at the moment he dies, they say, you know what? This was the Christ. This is our God. It does. I noticed. You know what I mean?
So it's some Roman soldiers.
Yeah, that was the Roman soldiers. But I would imagine it had to be the general.
I think when it got dark as night,
and the earthquake.
The earthquake. They went
and the veil split.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they go, you know,
and there are
kind of like,
people coming out of graves.
Right.
We might have missed this.
Right. Okay. But okay.
Oops.
Yeah. But no.
Well, that was after the red.
But what happened on the loss of the fishes? On the walk in the water, and the wine, and
all these miracles, they just like, whatever.
Yeah. I do wonder how many that Peter was preaching to when, you know, on the day of Pentecost, that were also there that were hollering, crucify him, crucify him.
Right.
I wonder.
Had to be quite a bit.
So, yeah. They were the ones that would be hanging around.
A lot of people
during the Passover, and then they stayed on for the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, a lot of the people were psyched up by the Pharisees and the leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't necessarily want him crucified, but you know how the crowd.
Well, I could mob reality.
I guess. But
it was
none of them
wanted
to lose
that
position. None of them wanted to be told they couldn't come into the synagogue because that was a bad. That was a bad rap for a Jew.
But then they asked Peter, what must we do
to be saved?
Right.
It says in the book of Acts that many of the religious leaders joined ranks and became followers of Christ.
I read that.
The thing that really showed you how evil, and the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully evil, or wicked, or how does it say that? And who could know it? But anyway, when these leaders, they were told that an angel came or somebody came and rolled the stone away, and they said, "Well, here's some money. Go tell."
Say that his people came and stole.
They came and stole the body.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute here.
Right.
Now we're purposely defying God.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Now, that's where his shishes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture that says, it's in the Old Testament, I'm not sure, it says that where God says, my spirit will not always strive with man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How are we doing? Yeah, it looks like it's recording.
Yeah, but it's, don't know if we want to tempt fate.
Yeah.
It's done really good.
So if this thing was up, we're going.
I love you all.